Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star podcast. We are a Battletech podcast highlighting the storied mercenary units in the newest Kickstarter from Catalyst Game Labs and beyond. My name is Seth, and also known as White Fox SG. I'm your host, and I am joined today by two very special guest hosts. We have Andrew and Aaron Kroll from Wolfnet Radio Podcast. How are you today, gentlemen?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Doing really good, White Fox. Thanks for having us on.
Awesome. Awesome. And thank you for joining me. You guys have been pillars in the Battletech community. And you definitely were part of my journey back into the Battletech universe when the Game of Armored Combat box came out and I started looking around for Battletech content in all the places and found the Wolfnet Radio podcast. Found it pretty early, but not early enough that I suffered through all the audio things of the first few episodes, which I had my own audio issues with my first couple episodes. I blame it on my computer because I had to reinstall Windows like five times at the beginning of the year, and I would lose my settings every time. So for anyone else who's listening and you've made it this far, thank you for bearing with all of us.
As we blame ours on Tommy, so
that's, you know, got that's, right. That's good. That's good. awesome. Well, today I have the Krolls because we are talking about the Wolf's Dragoons, and they are famous for their love of the Wolf's Dragoons. So, first of all, why the Wolf's Dragoons?
I'll let him go first.
All right. I'll go
first.
He
was the OG.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I started my Battletech career when I was a junior in high school, just reading fiction. And I happened to buy my first miniature at a small game store in Fargo, North Dakota. And that's where I met a good friend of mine, Keith Dagg. And nice. Keith was a Wolf's Dragoons guy. And he had played over in Europe in some very big tournaments back way back in the day. So my first introductions to playing was a Dragoons Marauder, and I just kind of rode that rave from day one. So that's awesome. Really how I got introduced and why I've been where I've been.
Fantastic.
And then as his younger cousin, we call ourselves brother, but technically we're cousins. As a younger cousin, he needed somebody to play Battletech with, and I was an impressionable young gentleman, and I said, well, those look
gentlemen's
cool.
Gentlemen's a stretch. Gentlemen's a stretch.
We're stretching here.
Yeah.
Impressionable youth. There we go.
That's right.
And I said, well, those things look cool, and he went, oh, boy, and indoctrinated me pretty quick, and at the time, I believe Andrew was unofficially the Black Widow Company, I think.
Wow, that was within our group and talking within with our Dag group. And our own little play thing or whatever, yeah.
Well, he felt like he owned he was the Black Widow Company, and then I was like, wow, Kellhounds look pretty cool. I'll take those guys over. And then after I think a couple of years, Andrew got elevated. And in a hotel room at a con, he goes, you want the Widows? And I went, really? And
so you joined the family business.
Yes, please. So I was bequeathed the Widows and have been playing the Widows ever since. So
awesome.
It's been a lifelong Wolf's Dragoons marriage for us, and they tried to take it away from us, but yeah. We're still here.
Yep, absolutely. Awesome. Well, if for those listening and watching, we are on episode 7, by the way, which is the Wolf's Dragoons. Forgot to mention the number on the episode. You know, we're professionals. But yeah, so we're gonna dive into a little bit of stuff about them. But again, thank you guys for joining. And let's move over to the presentation. All right. So, we are talking again about the Wolf's Dragoons. And they were founded in, we'll say 3004. The idea for them obviously was suggested before that, around the year 3000 in Battletech lore. But 3004, and it was by Clan Wolf Con Curlin Ward, who proposed the Dragoon Compromise. And so, yeah, we'll get into that in just a minute. But as far as in real life, they were one of the five original mercenary companies in the original Battletech board game box. So they've been there from the beginning, once again. And I just love that they had those. They had them, you know, specific colors for the houses. They were originally introduced, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I think the Warrior Riposte in the fiction was the first time that they were in, like, a novel fiction. I know we had a source book before that. Because we had Tales of the Black Widow Company in 1985. But as far as the first piece of fiction, Jamie Wolfe was in Warrior Riposte in October of 88 when he showed up at the wedding of Hans and Melissa Davion.
Yeah, when it comes to actual fiction of,
right,
like,
right,
the novels, yeah, I, yes, believe Riposte, yes, was the first one. The right, source book was before that.
Right. Right. Yeah. Tales of the Black Widow Company was 1985. And then the Wolf's
Dragoons. And one of the more iconic books.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. and the Wolf's Dragoons source book didn't come out till 89 after Warrior Riposte. So, but the fact that they had one at all back then, too, was pretty impressive. Arguably the largest of mercenary units with,
yeah,
five and on and on and on and on and on and recycling regiments, you know. So
just look the other way, guys. Just five, yeah, regiments, just jumping five regiments in from nowhere with no, yeah, past experience. And
yeah, all,
we have, you know, rich uncles. What can we say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hired
rich uncles.
Rich uncles. Hired sight unseen. Absolutely. But yeah, first fiction was that. Some interesting facts that I found in here that we as the readers wouldn't know Jamie Wolfe. We wouldn't know why he was delivering the swords to Takashi Kurita during the wedding for another 5 months when Wolves on the Border actually came out. So that was like this big, important moment in the Hans and Melissa wedding, you know, week that they were all on Terra, and we didn't know for another 5 months. Gotta love those novel release dates back then.
Yeah,
I did. Whether they, I mean, I was reading them, so
whether they chose that on purpose or if it was like a production era value, and they're like, oh no, we knew we wanted to do that totally the whole time. That's purpose. Like a nice little cool Easter egg.
But you know
or something
what?
Like that.
I feel like they did do it on purpose because of this next fact, where basically in a little bit in that snippet, but definitely in Wolves on the Border, there were clan customs and terminology in Wolves on the Border that the readers wouldn't know again of their clan origin until the big reveal at the end of Lethal Heritage another 6 months later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't catch that when I was reading them as they released back then, but I love that, you know, it was a big reveal. I remember when they were like, and we're the clans. And I was when, like, oh my gosh. You know, I'm calling my friends on the kitchen phone with the cord. And I'm like, did you finish the book yet? Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was an amazing secret that you could tell they wanted to spring that on everyone. And the way they handled it, I think, was amazing.
It was. It really was really cool. And then I just found this on Sarna and had no idea this was even a thing. But the Critter Tech, did you guys ever see this? Other than on Sarna?
Okay. Yeah.
Apparently, they were parodied. The you do? That's awesome. apparently, they were parodied. Ah, man, I can't talk. Battletech had a parody game called Critter Tech. And it was a whole bunch of animal mechs, basically, or something like that. But basically, they were the wolf's baboons.
Yep.
But this was the line that I figured you all would, you know, totally argue against. But they had an ability called the scriptwriter is on their side. And, you know, I'm sure some of the listeners would probably agree with that.
It's been brought up from time to time.
A few times.
That they're...
A little plot armor.
They get a little plot armor.
Yeah.
They may be favored a little bit.
Yeah.
It's... If you boil it down, it's hard to not agree with it a little bit. But it's almost... when we discuss the Wolf Dragoons, it's almost like they're a driving force when it comes to the storyline.
Oh, absolutely.
So you can't really have Battletech without the Wolf Dragoons or the Kalhounds or, you know, some of these major
they're so
mercenary
tied up
units.
In major events in the Battletech universe.
Yeah. Is it funny and people think it's kind of a cop out when we're like, oh, we're Wolf Dragoons. And they're like, oh, Wolf Dragoon. We're like,
I mean, you know, like I don't know. Like, I get it. I understand the concept. I also kind of hate the term because plot armor, yes. Of course it's plot armor. The book is written about them to do a certain thing. So I don't know if it's just plot armor, if it's just the plot. Like it's the plot.
They've also tried to kill us off three times, I think, now. So
Yeah. And, you know, you maybe successfully, but we'll get to that later.
Oh. Stuck my foot in my own mouth out right there.
Yeah, you kind of did. You kind of said it. but as far as the Wolf Dragoons that go, though, they have a lot of not just fiction, but they have a lot of source books dedicated to them as well. Obviously, the first was the Tales of the Black Widow Company. Again, iconic book. I've got one of the covers here in just a minute we'll look at. We had the Wolf Dragoon source book itself, and then there was more Tales of the Black Widow, which was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And then there was another starter book, Wolf and Blake, and that was even as late as 2008.
Yep.
And then, of course, they're in, like, you know, a ton of the other source books because, again, they're just so prolific in the Battletech universe. So, but as far as the novels go, novels and or fiction. This is novels, short stories, novellas, Battlecore anthologies. But we've got, let's see, I think we've added a couple. 11? I think 11. We'll have them listed out on the show notes and everything. But Wolves on the Border in 89, Blood Legacy, which was actually the second book in the Blood of Kerensky trilogy. They were, you know, they had the reveal at the end of the first one, but the second book was really about them or involved them in a major way. Wolfpack, which was their Civil War. We had Tales of the Blank, the Last Days of Zeta.
Tales
that
of
was
the...
During, that was during the Blake
the
Crusade.
The Blake Days?
The Blake Days.
Called the Blake Days.
Yeah. You know. We had Feral, which is another Battlecore anthology. Hector, also a Battlecore anthology. And Making a Name. And those were all from Jason Smetzer. Actually, the first three, sorry, I didn't mention Robert in Charette. Charette. And Michael Stackpole were the authors of the first three. And then we had Jason Smetzer with Redemption Rift, which was kind of their big Dark Age novel. It was actually an anthology, but they kind of put it together in a novel, right?
That was 3145, them taking the Draconis rift.
Yes.
Yep. Draconis March.
Right, yep. Right. For the Draconis Combine. And then we had Divided We Fall and Hour of the Wolf and then Redemption Rites, which were all the three that came out in the last few years. 3 years, actually. So
still not as cool as the original name for that story, though.
Well, little, what was the original? Tell me.
Little tidbit. I believe I'm Redemption Rites was supposed to be what? Our Plans Be Dark?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Originally, cool. It was supposed to be called Our Plans Be Dark, which I still get goosebumps every time I hear that title. But Redemption Rites, I guess, you know, works as well. So
wasn't meant to be, I guess. Awesome. But the cool thing is, too, is that you two gentlemen are in definitely, let's see, Hour of the Wolf. But all three of them, right?
I am in the last three books, and right. Aaron is in Hour of the Wolf and Redemption.
Okay. Redemption, right? Or Divided We Fall?
He is in Hour of the Wolf and Redemption, right? I'm in all three, I think. Okay. I don't know. Were you in Divided We Fall? I don't think so.
We're in all three. Okay. I make a...
Oh, we are. Okay, my bad.
Right at the end there, apparently I'm in there.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yep. So, my bad.
Probably just, you know, mentioning...
It was a one-liner.
Yeah. Mentioning him on your coattails.
Because that's what colonels do, apparently. Just follow majors around.
What,
I don't know.
You know. It's what he does his whole life. So, you know. good thing I got enough weight to pull him along.
Absolutely. All right. Well, speaking of the Wolf's Dragoons, we'll have our little kind of summary for them. So basically, the Wolf's Dragoons, as we hinted at earlier, they were, though, again, the readers didn't know it until the revelation at the end of Lethal Heritage, the Wolf's Dragoons were formed as a secret advanced scout unit by the clans to gather intel about the Inner Sphere in preparation for the clan invasion, which the clans was intended to conquer the successor states and reestablish the Star League. The Khan of Clan Wolf suggested the Dragoon Compromise, and the Dragoons were created by Clan Wolf, with Clan Goliath Scorpion assisting in training them in pre-Exodus / Inner Sphere tactics, which I thought was pretty cool. Like, you know, Goliath Scorpion are kind of the keepers of ancient things. And mm-hmm. So we're like, yeah, let's totally train them in how to fight like we used to fight.
Well, think of something as simple as not working in a star and having to go back to Lance tactics. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
they've been training that way all their lives. Now all of a sudden you're like, I mean, that's almost like cutting off a limb to a star commander.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is that I know a lot of them were freeborn warriors from Clan Wolf. Obviously, there were some trueborn, including the infamous and famous Natasha Kerensky. Picture
my girl
in the video. That's the official CGL artwork there from the Legends book. And Jamie Wolf, also in the picture there, looking, you know, ruggedly handsome in his younger years.
Don't even try to compare. Come on. Jeepers socks.
But yeah, so they were formed, like I said, in 3004. And that's when they left Clan Space and headed towards the Inner Sphere. They were first hired by Ian Davian, who was the first prince of the Federated Sons in 3005. And like we said, you know, yeah, of course we'll hire five crack regiments with mechs we've never seen before. So they were the first ones to hire them. And then would remain with them till 3009. They would be with House Liao and the Capellan Confederation from 3010 to 2014. Then they made the mistake of accepting a contract from Anton Merrick. And, you know, he lost the Merrick Civil War. So that was, you know, that was the first time I feel like they'd been defeated.
That was a rough patch for the Dragoons. Yes,
it was
a rough patch. They lost more than just mechs and machines. Yeah. The beloved Joshua.
Yes, that was also that time.
Wait, is that who I'm supposed to be? Am I supposed to be Joshua in this? Because, you know,
in this duo.
In this duo here.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe so.
Old with a beard, young good looking guy, and I bite the dust. I see where this is going. Okay.
Yeah. Just keep telling yourself that. but that was from 2014 to 2015. Then they entered House Merrick service for the Free Worlds League officially from 2015 to 2019. House Steiner from the Lyran Commonwealth from 2020 to 2022. And then House Carita from in the Draconis Combine in 3023 to 3028, which was right at the beginning of the Fourth Succession War, in which they immediately went to Hans Davian and said, "Hey, you're going to hire us, and we're going to defend your borders against the Draconis Combine." And they're like, "Okay."
The Draconis Combine weren't big fans of them.
No. That was basically the Wolves on the Border, book, and the, you know, kind of from the wedding forward, after he, you know, threw the swords in front of Takashi Kurita, ticked him off. I believe that was the death to mercenaries decree after that, right? Something like that. Pretty soon after.
It was pretty soon after that.
Yeah, it was very soon after that.
So, and I thought, if I'm remembering correctly, in response to, the Wolf Dragoons. But yeah, so they did that, and then Hans Davian granted them Outreach, which was a very important and is a very important world in the BattleTech universe. And it was fun to learn, you know, not only was it requested by and granted to them, but it was also, they requested it because it was the historic site of the Star League Army Marshal Olympics, which was pretty fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they're from the clans. Let's get this old Star League era stuff. It'll also just tick a lot of people off later on. but yeah. And then they became, you know, competition.
They did Outreach specifically because of the mech manufacturing capabilities. So, we haven't talked yet. Maybe I'll just add Snords of Regulars. Really, you're gonna get to it. Okay, my bad.
No. You're fine. You're fine. No, that's perfectly okay. Leading into it. So go right ahead. Whenever they came to the Inner Sphere, they brought some mech production stuff, and then Jamie started the "Let's Find Old Star League Stuff" mission, which brought us the Storms of Regulars, which I think, if I get my box in time, should be the next episode.
That's gonna be awesome.
I believe that it's on its way. So that'll be fun, and that'll be a nice pairing to follow up, since they had their origins from that. So, what? Anything else you want to add about the Snords Regulars, Andrew?
Well, what's interesting there is that there's a lot of speculation that Snord was a Goliath Scorpion, which is why they did the relic hunting that they did.
And that would make sense.
But I think he may or may not have been a Goliath Scorpion, but the whole point, her purpose of Snords are regulars, which was a decree by Jamie Wolf, where he created that unit before they came into the Inner Sphere in 3004, was to search out, find, and catalog potential early caches throughout the Inner Sphere for being able to resupply and replenish their ranks. And, well, Cranston became very, very good at that. He'd kind of been noted of a surveyor and purveyor of lost things. And they kind of pulled a fast one, whether they pulled a fast one or not, I guess, on Hans Davian. Hans had the Swords of Regulars do the planetary scan, if you will, or check out, make sure that they weren't giving away too much. And they gave a doctored report yes. to Hans while giving a fully detailed report to Jamie. And the reason that they needed outreach was because of the change in their edict from Curlin Ward in 3019. So needed a place to start being able to build and get ready for when clans came to the Inner Sphere. And outreach gave them the capability to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the change in their edict was kind of in response to what was going on with the clans as they're getting ready to invade. And they were going to be, correct me if I'm wrong, but he kind of told them to start preparing the Inner Sphere for that.
That is correct. Curlin Ward changed their directive from reconnaissance and reporting to preparing the Inner Sphere for the coming of the clans so that they were not going to get steamrolled, if you will.
Yeah, some could say maybe because they wanted a little bit more competition, but also to prepare them, yeah. Awesome. Well, so after, basically, like I said, then the... also, too, if you're watching the video, then you'll also see some awesome artwork of the original Wolves on the Border cover. And Jamie Wolf's Archer, which was the blue and yellow, which, can either of you tell me, why was the command lance blue and yellow?
Blue and gold? I have no idea.
Okay. No idea. You know, I'm curious.
I don't know if that comes back from their time as warriors with Natasha while they, you know, because Jamie and Joshua Wolf were star mates or
they're under Natasha.
They were within Natasha's unit in clan space. So I don't know if that's where it comes from. So if anybody has a line to Lauren or Mike Stackpole, maybe they should give us an answer to that. And
that'd be fantastic.
The origin story for the Dragoons. That'd be pretty cool.
That's right. Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink. There you go.
Please let us know when that eventually comes out. Why is it blue and gold? I mean, because I love the blue and gold. Those are some of my favorite colors, as you might have guessed from the theme of the Mercenary Star podcast.
No, but, nice. nice.
But it wasn't necessarily because of Jamie Wolf's Archer here. So, but yeah. So, but that's a lot of fun. And then also, too, some of the... We've got Natasha Kerensky from the cover of her famous Tales of the Black Widow Company. And then also... the current version of like her Warhammer and the Black Widows there on the right. Cause she was a Warhammer pilot, which was awesome. I don't know why.
Well, it didn't start out originally in a,
yes. What was her first mic there? Was it
Marauder?
Marauder.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to save that Easter egg for a possible other episode.
Yeah, that could be another really good podcast later on.
But she did not originally pilot a Warhammer. It was a Marauder, and she got into a kerfuffle with another noted person. Kerfuffle. I used it.
I like that. Awesome.
So anyway, yeah, we'll maybe save that. With the two swords being an Easter egg, we'll maybe save that one for another episode down the line.
I like it. But her Warhammer was the more famous.
Oh, that is the iconic, yeah.
It's the iconic Black Widow, the Widowmaker itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
The story of how the Black Widow company got their colors is just amazing. It is, it's a tearjerker, but it's amazing.
Fantastic unit. For sure.
That was one that we didn't have in the published deal was name of the graphic novel?
I forgot about it because I don't have any of that for sure. In the comic/graphic novel. You know what? I have an acquaintance that found those at like a garage sale for like a couple bucks.
Oh wow.
And he's only partially a BattleTech fan, so I need to see if I could just buy him from him for cheap or something. Because I would love
give
to him, have him.
I'll give him 50 bucks. I'll make it worth as well.
Yeah, I have to see. So yeah. But yeah, that's really cool unit for sure. Awesome. And then, of course, again, if you're watching the video podcast, you can watch it on YouTube. Definitely give us a like and subscribe. I'd appreciate it. But you can also watch it on Spotify because they do the video podcasts as well. But we have the cover art, sans all the text, for Redemption, Rift, Redemption Rights, and Divided We Fall on there, which is
correct.
You know, all a lot of current sculpts for those mechs, so that's a lot of fun. Also, they're all black and red, but not necessarily Black Widow Company. But it kind of became the de facto paint scheme for them, obviously, unless they're out in the field, right? Because a lot of people will change their paint schemes. And then lastly here, and give me a little snippet from Redemption. What is it? Redemption Rift, which is their Dark Age novel. You said that was when they returned to the Draconis Combine for the first time to their service during the Dark Age in 3145,
correct,
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they invaded
31. I think they started in 3143, and the book ended in 3145. I think.
Okay. And did they end the with dates on helping basically capture New Avalon? Or did they
not that book. That I believe is in a source book at a later time.
Okay.
There isn't necessarily fiction or story around.
Right.
I haven't read that one, as you might imagine. Being a Dark Age novel, and I, you know, like I said, I was one of many who took a break and came back, but so I've got some of those Dark Age novels to read. I feel like I would probably appreciate them more as an older fan now than I did in my 20s when I was mad at, you know, WizKids for
everyone
jumping. Yeah, I was mad for them jumping everything forward 100 years and deleting all of our, you know, fond characters basically. Oh yeah, they died. Oh yeah, they died in the nuke.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they died over here. So but yeah, so those are some fantastic novels too. And Divided We Fall and Redemption Rights, very important to the current Ill Clan setting.
Yeah, so. the rift basically you know, catches everybody up with the Jagoons. They're fighting the Fed Sons for the Draconis Combine, and it's just kind of their angst about not being tip of the spear. They're getting a lot of down missions, which is not the wolf. The Wolf's Dragoons have always and will always be.
They have the claws for the tip of the spear, don't they? Or something to that
usually
effect?
So yeah. So the Redemption Rift was, they had been working for the Lyran Commonwealth through the Dark Ages for roughly 50 or 60 years. And General Brudabaker at the time felt that it was time for the Dragoons to make a name for themselves again, to break away from the support that they needed and took from the Kellhounds and fighting Jade Falcons for the last 50 years. He wanted to change it up. And that is how they came into the employ of the Draconis Combine. The Rift is them working with the current Ryukin regiments in taking their Draconis March and actually giving Kirita the foothold that they needed to make the march on New Avalon. Mm-hmm. According to the source books, once the Dragoons helped take the Rift, the Draconis Combine mustered soldiery then became tip of the spear. The coordinator wanted those victories to be for Kirita and right. not hired out.
To take
and
the glory,
the Dragoons
basically.
Were still... Exactly. And the Dragoons were brought along as that, I'll call it an ace in the hole, if you will, that if they ran into something that they needed help with, they had an ace up their sleeve, which they ended up using on New Avalon. If Dragoons would not have been with that invasion, I think that that battle would have either gone much, much longer or may not have gone the way that it did in the as it played out.
Right.
So, and I think what happened there is that as they got regulated to the back of the bus, that added the dissension among the ranks, that gave them some angst, which in Divided We Fall, Mariotta Kerensky was able to fan those embers. Sure. He used that resentment and the fans of redemption, really, of being able to come back into the fold and claim your rightful place and in all of those flowery good words to mm-hmm. a commander who wanted to see more in Colonel Cruz. It's a tough deal being a Dragoon fan as I am, but it made sense given their history, given their size, given everything, that something like that needed to happen. They needed to have that happen to not have that plot armor, to not have everything yeah. goes their way type of thing. And it was, that was some real dirty, ugly things that happened in Divided We Fall when you talk about the scope of what the Dragoons are, what they've stood for, and what they've done and accomplished in and for the Inner Sphere.
Yeah, they were.
It was
another.
It was a good story. It needed to happen. I like how it set things up, and got them in a place for them to be the tip of the spear again, and be in the role of change, of bringing in the Ill Clan era. You know, yeah. they were there helping make that happen. So,
yeah,
sorry,
absolutely.
I kind of got on a soapbox. I got on a soapbox and started ranting. Sorry.
It's all good. That's why you're here. that's
fair. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. They definitely, again, like we said, they are so key. As far as mercenary companies go, they have been involved in so many major events in the BattleTech universe. So yeah, and then after that, obviously, you know, Divided We Fall happened. They joined with Clan Wolf on Terra. Spoilers for that whole battle. If you haven't read it yet, yeah. I apologize. It's
been out for a while.
It's been out, yeah. And then the subsequent betrayal by the alleged Illicon led to the book Redemption Rites, which was fantastic. I really liked that book. And so they are in a state of rebuilding right now, which is fantastic. And I don't have pictures with me on my phone, but I need to get some. There is a community member who is part of my local Oklahoma BattleTech community, kind of one of the de facto leaders. He's a CGL demo agent, but he's in Wolfnet as well. His name's Billy, and he just painted a fantastic new generation of Zeta Galaxy mechs.
Oh, nice.
And they look really good. I got to see him in person at SoonerCon this last weekend, which was Oklahoma's biggest tabletop convention. And so, yeah, I got to see him. They look really good. He had a Marauder 2, looked fantastic. And so he went with the green jeweled cockpit on the black. And then I guess the new Zeta Galaxy has white.
White.
Yeah. It's got white and red trim. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got the white and red trim, and it looks really good. I'll see if I can't get him to throw him up in the Wolfnet, because he's thrown him up in our Oklahoma Discord. So
Billy. Yeah, I mean, Billy, if there's two people who would not appreciate it, how come you didn't throw it at us, man? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell him. I'll tell him you want to see it. So, but yeah, they look fantastic. So
Andrew was actually Zeta for a little bit too. Actually, isn't that what you gave me the Widows for? Was for Zeta?
Sure. I don't. I'm.
I mean, who doesn't want a whole bunch of assault?
Having
mechs,
fun,
right?
Man. I got fat, so I figured I needed a big mech. So
believe me, back then, if you were going to take on Zeta, you had about a 35 to 40 pound case of metal that you had to carry around with you. So
that stuff was really heavy.
We didn't have plastic in those days.
We did not.
We did a scenario at one of the local game stores here. I had a company from Zeta, and we had the Black Widow company, and I think we chewed through a Merrick battalion. We were defending a building, or they needed to extract something, and we chewed through a lot of stuff. It was funny. I remember playing that game, and I had a guy standing next to me, and I'm like, "Have you played an assault mech before?" He's like, "Well, yeah, I've all played an assault mech." I said, "But have you played a Dragoon Zeta assault mech before?" He's like, "No." I'm like, "Strap in, this will be fun."
yeah, absolutely. well, and we'll get to one of their assault mechs in a minute, because we have an assault star in the Force Pack to talk about, so we can shift over to that. Anything else that something about the Wolf's Dragoons that are just your favorite thing? There are some other fantastic Wolfnet Radio community members who are part of the Wolf's Dragoons in some form or fashion in those other novels. So definitely look for them. Let's see, who else is it? Bloodbath's in there, right?
Yep.
Bloodbath is in. Charles is in there. Yeah. Gideon's in there.
Who else?
Patrick Saul, I think, is a sergeant or a lance commander. And Wang Chang,
Wayne Chen,
I think, is also in as a character in Dragoons 2. So, awesome. Yeah, there's a decent handful of us. Which what's really interesting to me, though, is that Hour of the Wolf, Sims, Prohaska, me, Aaron, Matt,
it's
all of the people who made it into Divided We Fall are all like one or two people away from me as far as do I play with them or do I play with them? Do I play them play with them regularly or do I see them on occasion, which was just wild when you start reading through and like, oh, I know that guy. Oh, I know that guy. Oh, I know that guy too.
Your local community or semi-local community got to be kind of all in it together. So yeah, that was awesome. Not everyone made it out, but you know, but you made
it
in.
We don't know that for sure. But you made it in.
So, and that's what counts. But yeah, like anything else that you guys want to highlight for the Dragoons before we look at the Force Pack?
It just dawning on me now, I just realized that the Fed Sons were the first to hire the Dragoons, which ultimately led to them taking over New Avalon for the most hated rival.
Right.
And the Wolf's Dragoons, who
they've played both sides.
They don't have great relationships with the Dragoons Combine, were the ones that saved Luthien from being run over by Clan Smoke Jaguars.
So right.
I just found those two kind of paths to be odd. So
yeah.
Life of a mercenary.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, let's take do you have something else, Andrew?
I was gonna say one of the things that, you know, whether it's plot armor or whatever, I mean when you actually try and put yourself in the shoes of being part of that original group of Dragoons who came from the clans, knowing where you came from, knowing what was there, and how people always say plot armor or this, that. The thing is that they were such a close-knit group. I mean, they were really a civilization unto themselves, really, because of their different customs, of the different ways that they've done things, that they operated in such a tight and cohesive manner because they had to, right? And a lot of the time, I think people malign the Dragoons in that, well, they get all of these things or all of these things happen. At the end of the day, they were all very professional and they were very high level. I mean, they were special operators, right? All of them were special operators. And I've never been there.
Tested against the clans, which came in at a skill level higher than anyone else in the Inner Sphere. And they were already there. So
when you factor all of that in and the fact that they need to, I mean, like Fadre Singh, when he ratted them out in after Misery on what the bolt hole plan was and where the non-combatants were going, the dependents, thank you, where they were going. I mean, that was really the first time that security was really truly broken. Otherwise, they always were able to vet and ensure that the war orphans or whoever they had that were fighting understood the position that they were in and the secrets that had to be kept. So
yeah, and they had to reach a certain rank before they even were revealed a lot of that.
Which is interesting because they talk about either, I think it was Hector or was it in Wolves on the Border, when they made a comment to, I think it was either Deacon Frazier or it was the cat who became...
I think it was in Wolves on the Border because I don't know if I've read Hector.
Okay. Because they made a comment to Deacon Frazier about a clan custom or the conversation that they were... Before they had the conversation of... that we were going to go against a Draconis Combine, right? Frazier was in that meeting, and you know, that was the first time that we heard Sela. Right?
Yeah.
He was absolutely confused, and somebody looked at him and said, "Oh, right, you're a captain, but you haven't gotten your training yet because you went up the ranks. You went up the ranks so fast because of attrition, whatever,
that
you haven't gotten properly read in yet."
Well, yeah, so because it was going from immediately from the Draconis Combine to immediately with the service with the Fed Sons. And yeah, I think it was during that time. But yeah, it was definitely Wolves on the Border because I remember that, but it was definitely not. And like I said, I haven't read the Battlecore stuff from that time.
Okay.
So
okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. No, it's good. And you know, I definitely have other units that are my favorite, but like I do have always enjoyed the Wolf Dragoons for sure. So and then obviously being a part of the Wolfnet community, which you all started, which you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, you know, it kind of lends itself to like him a little bit, you know, kind of writing ourselves into the lore, for our own games. And then obviously a bunch of people got into the yeah. actual lore. So, but yeah, let's talk about the Force Pack though. So this was the actual original Mercenary Force Pack, which I'm holding. Yep. I am holding it the right way. And it's the Wolf Dragoons Assault Star. This was originally an exclusive from Barnes & Noble. And, yep, Andrew's got it there, too.
Along with his 13 other ones.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a few.
Two.
I mean, you know, if it's your favorite unit, then why not, right?
It comes with the big boys. So.
You got to have the Annihilators, it, man.
It's I true. The big boy.
I need the Annihilators.
But obviously we've got the Archer here. Oh, you know what? Hold on. I have a list. Let's actually talk about the list, shall we? Okay. It's up on the screen if you're following along. But we have... so this one did not have a jumping mech like all the rest of them have. But we did get five, so that's a little different. Also, too, this one had a lot more pilot cards, which since this one was the first, I guess it was also kind of like the test, right? And then they yeah. probably were like, yeah, we don't want to add that many pilots. Let's save a little money, not. Probably. So, because they added two Dragoon pilots for each mech, and then they added two different mercenary units. Pilots from other mercenary units, which one of them is near and dear to my heart because I'm a Grey Death Legion fan.
I know who that is.
Yes, yes. but yeah, so we have all of these. We have a Timberwolf that is reposed, so new sculpt there.
Can I get it really close?
I know, right? Can we get the camera to focus? That's the key. Then we have a reposed rifleman, and this is the one with the Wolf Dragoons pilot that we'll talk about in a minute. Kind of hard to tell. Yeah, you're getting your camera to focus a lot better than mine. And then we've got
that rifleman is actually to scale, by the way.
Unlike the hero one, yeah. Then we have the variant. Archer as well. And the variant of the Blackjack.
I feel like I got to put my hand up too.
Just put your hand up. We'll just help. Everyone has a hand up. Yours is invisible. It's in stealth mode.
Here's my, they also included my, seventh commando unit, but,
that's right. That's right. Oh yeah, that's awesome.
I'm becoming more and more a fan of the Blackjack in Alpha Strike.
You know what? Yeah, I heard on the most recent episode you guys talk about not the Blackjack but the Centurion. I think for
Enforcer.
Probably. Was it just the Enforcer?
Well, we went through a list of them. Yeah, we started with the Centurion. Yeah.
Right, because we were talking about the new box. So
cheap.
Yeah, and then obviously the Annihilator.
Kleinfurt messaged me and yelled at me about, what are you doing giving away my good secrets?
Absolutely.
The Annihilator sculpt is just, I mean, it's Turkina.
It's a beast.
It is just a beast.
Absolutely. But obviously the famous pilots we've got to talk about a little bit. Obviously on the Archer, we have the Jamie Wolf. And then as well as Michael Strake, which do you know where he's from off the top of your head?
I don't
Michael Strake some is of the, one some of these, newer.
Yeah.
I think he's in one of the newer. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you have an original or okay. or a fiction type person, and then on the flip side is a new person.
Some of the people added. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think anyway. That's what it feels like.
Okay. I can't
get over looking at Card. And then you look at all of his special pilot abilities. It was just, oh my God.
For Jamie Wolf. Yeah.
Yeah. That it's is crazy. Unbelievable.
It is crazy because yeah, it is, like this section right there. There's just so many of them. Yeah. I mean, he's a 1-1 for sure. but yeah, so then we have on the Blackjack, we have Argos Nashimbini. Yeah, it's totally butchering the pronunciation, but and then Hal Bloomberg. Again, I don't know where either of those two are from.
The Hal Bloomberg one is interesting because he was actually in Anton Mark's second Ducal Guard. Yes. I didn't realize that the Dragoons had taken or they took anybody.
Yeah.
From Anton's revolt.
Well, he basically proved himself because he said, hey, I'm not going to do this. So
that's not right.
Then we have Titania Duval in the Rifleman and John Gentleman Johnny Clavel.
Yep.
Black Widows.
Yeah. We have Stacy Church in a Timberwolf. Which her character sounds pretty awesome, and Brixley Ball.
Stacy Church was also Black Widows.
Yeah.
Stacy Church was in the starter
book.
She was
later, though. Yeah.
Yes. She was 30-70s.
Yeah. Right. But a lot of people compared her to the original Black Widow, which is fun. And then on the Annihilator, we have Rebecca Ardenauer and Corrigan Holmes. So, not familiar with either one of those. But those are all the Wolf Dragoons pilots. And then I'm not going to read all of the pilots here for the other mercenary units, but I mean, we have 21st Century Lancers, we have Linden's Company, we have Eridani Light Horse, we have Wilson's Hussars, 12th Vegan Rangers, Kellhounds. There's like everybody's kind of represented, the Highlanders and the Hansen's Rough Riders, and then McGee's Cutthroats, which I definitely know nothing about, but this one, Davis McCall for the Grey Death Legion. arguably one of the, you know, most well-known, beloved characters in Battletech fiction with his big Scottish accent, which if you listen...
Piloting the Bannockburn, if I'm not mistaken.
Bannocko or Bannockburn, something like that. Yeah.
And...
He definitely had flack, in his loadout for sure. but yeah, so that's, again, these are all before they came out with the other mercenary box sets. But
we've been sitting here looking at miniatures.
Yeah.
And to this day, when I grab a miniature and you actually get a chance to sit and look at it, I'm still absolutely floored and astounded how well the new plastics
they look
represent
really good.
And actually have come out with
incorporating
the old look. Still absolutely well done.
Kickstarter, they talked about that, capturing the essence of the old sculpts with the new ones. And so that was a lot of fun to listen to them talk about that.
I was fortunate enough to get to go to the first Kerensky Con, and I can tell you from firsthand knowledge. I was at a lunch with Ray Arista and Brent Evans, and the artwork for the Shogun was going between their phones, and started arguing at the table about the placement of an antenna or something that was just wildly, you would think, insignificant, but it really drove home for me just how invested the powers that be were in ensuring that they got it right. And it was very cool to just be a fly on the wall and listen to them argue. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the Wolf Dragoons Assault Star, and you can get that. You can get it everywhere now, but it was originally a Barnes & Noble exclusive. You can still get it there, I'm sure, as well as your local game shop. But then you can also get it at our show's sponsor, which is Fortress Miniatures and Games. Definitely check that out. There will be a link in the show notes. But yeah, it's a fun force pack for sure. And there's, I mean, even if some of the pilots alone could be worth getting this, just to get those pilot cards. So, and the sculpts obviously look amazing. So, let's see here. Again, like I said, there's our show sponsor. Lastly, Wolfnet Radio Podcast. If you're watching the video, we've got it up here. I mentioned it at the top of the episode, but these guys' podcast, along with their co-hosts, was part of what brought me back into the BattleTech universe and into a community where I could have, you know, lots of awesome conversations, as well as regular games over Megamech. Especially during a time when we couldn't, during those lost years of 2020 and a little bit of 2021. and so, yeah, fantastic community. In fact, I will have a picture soon that I got to meet up with one of those awesome people, with Derek Knoll, because he is in Oklahoma now. During a lot of that time, you know, he was in Korea. Yep. But he's here, and so I got to meet up with him finally at SoonerCon this last weekend. Play some games with him, got to meet his wife. She's awesome. They were very kind and played with my boys in a grinder, and it was a lot of fun to watch. So it was good. But yeah, definitely check
Derek,
them out.
Derek's from Minneapolis, so I think on his way out of there Korea... We actually got together and played up here too. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Every time he comes to town, I hope he keeps to reach out to me. I think I missed him the last time he was in town, but
yeah, it's always, I know he goes up there for family. Together. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, awesome. Awesome to meet up with, and somewhere too, I don't know where you guys have hidden it, but there's a map somewhere of a whole bunch of community members too. But yeah. But yeah, we'll have a link to the Discord and the Facebook group in the show notes. Definitely check out the Wolfnet crew. We have a lot of campaigns that are going on with different, you know, units, because we kind of formed our own little unit with Wolfnet, right? We had some fun campaign stuff going on for a long time, and it's but there's always stuff going on. And then the Tuesday night fight nights is legendary. For sure. So yeah, definitely come check them out. Anything else you guys want to add? Wolf Dragoons, Wolfnet related, events. I know you guys got some events coming up.
Events is Andrew's events. Deal.
Events. So we've got, we will be at Gen Con this year. Previous 3 years, we have ran events at the Battle Barn, which is a private residence just south of Indianapolis. But we think that the vaxing and the masks and the wiping down of all of the things are not hopefully going to be a thing this year. So we are running a 2-day event at Gen Con, a 350 tournament that we will be taking the top 8 from Friday's play to finish out the tournament on Saturday in 3 rounds. And for everyone who doesn't make the top cut, we will be running a doubles tournament alongside of
nice.
The championship rounds for the 350. So we really try and ensure that we maximize people's ability to interface with each other and play the game. So that will be Gen Con. I come back. And 2 weeks later, I'll be in La Crosse, Wisconsin, doing CooleyCon. Nice. So that will be another 32-person tournament. Sounds like we've got quite a bit of interest going for that one as well. After that, I believe the next one is Strategicon in L.A. Aaron and I will be out there doing a 350 tournament as well. We come home, and then I am in St. Louis for Warfare Weekend, which we will be doing a doubles and 350 tournament there as well. Week before Thanksgiving, we'll be doing Renegade, which is here in Minneapolis. We'll be doing a Drafted for War, a 350, possibly a doubles tournament as well. There's still... kind of figuring out what we're going to do for that one, but it'll be a 3-day event there for that one. And then we're to KSAG, which is the start of the whole endeavor, which we will be at, believe this, Aaron,
which if you don't know what that is.
KSAG.
The fourth Kroll Sisters of Go-Go?
Kroll Sisters of Go-Go will be number 4 this year.
Wow.
Or is it 3? No, it's got to be 4.
Got to be 4.
Rumble on the River was 3. So, because that's the start of the year for us. That was our first, when we ran our first 350 tournament. It was in my garage, December 3rd. I think it was 22 degrees outside.
22 below, probably.
It was cold.
It was cold.
Either way, we had 12 people show up, and we had an absolute blast. And, that were at that first one are, you know, pillars in our community. Sean Goolsby, Mario, well, just Mr. Brute, I think that gets across to everybody. God, who else? Well, Aaron, Matt, Tommy, myself. What's your boy that from here, your X-Wing guy? He was here for that.
Matt.
There you go. Another yeah. Matt. So, that's been, to be honest with you,
Schluter.
I think one
Schluter.
Of the most.
There you go.
Schluter, there you go.
I didn't forget it.
First, I want to say thank you for shouting out our community. It has been one of the, outside of marriage and my kids, one of the most rewarding things that I've been able to be a part of and build. But the only reason that it is because of the people that we've attracted. We have amazing people in our group who understand what it is that we're trying to do and really have embraced the community aspect of, I'll say it, don't be a dick, right? Make sure that the player across from you wants to come back and play another day.
Yeah.
Be helpful, teach, ensure that people want to do this. And our community, we're really active here in the Midwest, but we've got you guys in Oklahoma. We have an awesome group in Colorado. There's a group in Indiana. Dave Cook in England is doing amazing work.
International,
Saul,
for sure.
I've had people reach out to me. Germany, New Zealand, the Philippines, Argentina, Mexico, and then various
Australia.
Different places here in the States. Australia is doing one as well. So there's a lot of 350, which is our casual tournament play format that we've created that is now worldwide, which is awesome. And
people are continuing to give us good feedback.
Yeah.
If you don't know what they're talking about, they have their 350 tournament format for Alpha Strike. And you can find that where?
At WolfStragoons.com under Alpha Strike Core Tournament Rules.
That's right.
I own the domain too, so there you go.
That's right. I had to get that plug in for you guys. So,
Thank you.
We're not fans of Wolf Dragoons or nothing.
Not at all. We just own
the .com.
Yep. No, that's awesome. Yeah, I am going to have to get together. I've yet to do any 350. I've yet to do Alpha Strike, actually, at all. I do have the box set. And I'm going to try to get together with Derek again soon-ish to play. And then hopefully after this last weekend, my kids will be a little more apt to join me. You know, they're a little older now than when I first introduced them to it. I introduced them to BattleTech when they were like, I don't know, 5 and 8. And that was, you know, about as early as I could justify getting it. But now they're 9 and 13. And so... They had a good time. Attention span didn't last the whole time, but you know, that's to be expected.
Try Alpha Strike; it'll go a lot further for them.
I don't know that. Like, I know how much you guys love Alpha Strike as a introduction to BattleTech, but I'm on the other side of the fence. I think the maps, the hexes, and the knowing exactly where to move it and to turn is a lot easier for the kids to figure out. And then being able to look at their record sheet and say, and again, it's not that it's any, I think because too, Alpha Strike, you definitely have to have a certain level of strategy because you're playing with four plus, you know, it's going to be, you know, upwards of like 15 miniatures. And for a lot of kids, like handling more than two units,
I can see that.
It's going to be really difficult.
We did a grinder. Residence here a couple weeks ago. We did a grinder, one mech, and played Alpha Strike with the multiple attack rolls. That was way more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Okay. I mean, I'm down to try it. Don't get me wrong.
I thought that would go by so fast and it would just be kind of a garbage game. It was actually a blast. I had a lot of fun doing that.
Nice.
So I'm actually putting together a grinder set now
they had not
only have for Classic, but be able to do it for Alpha Strike.
Alpha Strike. No, that's awesome. They had a grinder. They had, like I said, the Classic grinder going on. They also had at SoonerCon this weekend. They also had, what was it called? BattleTech Boot Camp. And so it was a... Locust versus a commando, I think.
That'd be fair. Yeah.
And so that was pretty cool. They got keychains for running through that.
Oh, great.
Showing up. We all got some dice, so that was nice. And then in the grinder, I blew up Billy's mech, critted for an ammo explosion. It's fantastic. and so I want a pack, one of the blind boxes for it.
A salvage box.
And then he was, very generous and gave me a second so that both the boys could get a salvage box. It was fun. And they had a blast. Like I said, at the end, their attention span was waning a little bit, but they were, and so they were kind of trying to get out of the game without getting out of the game. And Derek and his wife hadn't eaten. So they're like, we need to go eat lunch. So they're like, let's just all stand and fire at each other. And so the four of them basically stood like within two hexes of each other and just stood and just fired at all of each other. Derek went down first, which was hilarious. And so it was his wife against my kids. And it was a lot of fun. It was hilarious to watch. They were like, yeah, we're like the Spider-Man guys going, you. So it was fun. I think BattleTech, both, you know, Classic and then from your description of Alpha Strike, I think both would be definitely easy for kids to learn. And I'm definitely going to run the older through both because he's got a lot more time because he got some things taken away this summer from school. So,
oh no.
Yeah. So he's having some consequences. So he's got a little more free time. So, but yeah. All right. Well, hey, anything else? Any other shout outs for you guys?
I don't know how many of your listeners know this, but your very own White Fox was very, very influential in the beginning days of Wolfnet Radio Podcast. Our wonderful logo and a lot of our material that we use was graciously designed and created by White Fox here. So we don't say thank you enough, but for all of your help,
I appreciate all of it. But
for your help in the early days, because our graphic artistry is not anywhere on par with yours.
It's a skill.
Finger painting crayons, man.
Yeah, it's a skill that I've been blessed with, and I've practiced at, and I enjoy, especially for communities like this, for Wolfnet, and then doing stuff for myself. And then another there's another podcast out there that's getting getting off the ground. Some community from Florida, actually. Some, I think one or two.
I believe I know who that is.
You probably do.
Jose,
yeah.
Jose and and Bradley. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. The mobile headquarters. The
mobile
MHQ
HQ. Yeah.
So yeah. I was fortunate enough. They reached out and asked me to do some stuff for them, so I got to help with theirs, which was awesome. So
awesome.
Between the logo and for anybody who's a fan of watching us on Thursday nights, Stream Elements was also this guy's idea. So
I just have to bring the production level up.
It did.
Yeah.
And
it's like I said, it's just fun, and I like to contribute and be involved. So and again, I definitely appreciate all the times you've shouted it out, for sure. So
we try to get you at least once every other month. I think.
I mean, it's probably about that. You guys, I feel. I'm like, oh, that's nice. They mentioned me again. But no,
well, that's one of our things we try to do is we try to, if a new podcast is coming up or a new YouTube channel, or I mean, we're just glad that the content creators are there.
Want more BattleTech.
Yep. Yep, you can never have too much BattleTech. So
I know it's fantastic. There's so much happening, and I don't know if you guys have noticed or anything, but like the Valhalla Club guys have an awesome Discord community where all of the podcasts that they learn about basically get a booth in the Valhalla Club, and it basically means that there's a channel in their Discord for each of our podcasts. Wolfnet's there too.
Really?
Yeah, you just gotta go post in it.
Oh, there it is right there. How about that?
So, yeah. And I think we even have like some privileges for it as well. But yeah, it's a really cool kind of homage to the in-universe Valhalla Club, which is nice. But yeah, there's so much chatter that goes on that in that one, especially amongst all the podcast people. So he's posting it right now.
I mean, as far as shout outs go, I want to again, Seth, thank you for so much for having us on, especially for this episode. And
for sure.
Also, like you guys have said too, all of the content creators, new and old, just to reiterate what you guys said, just more content is better. Being able to hear from different points of view in different parts of the world is fantastic, and eats up time, right? And cover it and listen to or be a part of everything. And then lastly, our community. We've got, and like I said, we've got an amazing group, and continue to be amazed by our community and proud of our community. I will hold our community up against anything in the world as far as what a gaming group community should be and how it should conduct itself. So keep up the great work, people, and stay positive, right? Keep welcoming new people and keep bringing them into the fold. So
absolutely, it's growing all the time. So awesome. Well, thanks again, guys. This was a lot of fun. And yeah, like maybe we'll have you guys on again individually or whatever for another mercenary unit down the line, because there's a lot out there. So, you know, that second or third favorite, just start thinking about if you want to jump on for something else. So
absolutely. Anytime, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. That's going to do it for the episode. For everyone who has stuck around, thank you for watching. Again, please like and subscribe. Go check these guys out in their community. They're awesome. And we will see you next time. So good night and God bless.
Pound that notification button.
That's right.
Subscribe.